Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through our study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2. We've been looking at verse number 8, which says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." And we've been looking over the last couple of episodes and tying this in with verse 7 as well, of the idea of the care that we are supposed to have for the other members of the body of Christ. And as we've been looking at this, we've been focusing, you know, on where we left off, was this issue of Paul saying not the gospel of God only, and how the gospel message, this is the starting point of dealing with individuals, getting them saved to become members of the body of Christ, when the gospel is preached to them and people put their trust in it. And that gospel message for today is the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And somebody believing in that and that alone for salvation, you know, that's the starting point of what ties in with the will of God, which is that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And how the gospel message is how individuals get saved, but there is that second piece that goes along with the idea of individuals coming unto the knowledge of the truth, and how this is the responsibility of the members of the body of Christ to be able to give individuals the information so that way they could be able to get to that knowledge of the truth that God desires for people to have. And you see how there's a pattern that's laid out for individuals on how the local assembly is supposed to be functioning, and how the Apostle Paul actually functioned during his ministry with individuals. If we go over to the book of Acts, and we'll go to Acts chapter number 14, to see this pattern that we have recorded for us. Now, this is going to be Luke actually writing some things related to the ministry that the Apostle Paul was carrying out. And you see what's going to happen as Paul and those who are traveling with him are going and functioning as they had the understanding of what they were supposed to do. We're going to start here at verse number 21 of Acts chapter number 14. It says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, into Iconium, in Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed." So we see the first thing that, thinking, you know, they, that's Paul and those who were traveling with him at that point, you see the first thing is that they were preaching the gospel to that city, so they're evangelizing as they were going into these places. And then once they had finished up with the evangelism of preaching the gospel to individuals, you see these next three things that the book of Acts actually records that they were doing. You see the issue of, you know, the confirming the souls of the disciples. There's an edification process that actually starts to occur of people being built up in the doctrine. And that's, you know, what God really wants to happen, because it's the only way that individuals are going to be able to function properly during this dispensation, is to have the doctrine built up in them. And that's the doctrine that's found in the books of Romans through Philemon. And you see how It is as Paul is ministering to individuals, the struggle that goes on. We're going to come back here to the book of Acts, but I want to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. To where you see Paul recording the issue of the struggle that was going on as he was writing unto this church in Corinth. We're going to start here at verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And so you see this issue of this assembly in Corinth struggling with the information that had been given to them of where Paul had gone in, he had been preaching to them, he gave them some information, but he's saying that he couldn't give them the information that they needed. And you see how he uses those terms, milk and meat, to describe what he was giving to them, and how he could only give them the things of milk. He could only give them the very basics because they couldn't handle any of the other things. And fact is, you read through that passage, you see how he's very clearly even identifying the fact that what he's writing to them right at the moment that he's penning this epistle, he says the issue of that, you know, yet now are ye able. You know, neither yet now are ye able. They still can't even function in a manner of where he can give them meat. So everything that he's recording here in the book of 1 Corinthians, that's really the basic information of the doctrine that's needed. He can't give them the more advanced things because they haven't advanced to those things yet. You look at it for example, the idea of mathematics. You can't teach someone how to do algebra if they don't even know basic addition and subtraction. They have to have the basics of math before you can actually successfully teach someone the more advanced mathematical skills. It's the same thing related to the Word of God. After somebody is saved and the Spirit can communicate with them the truth in it, they still have to understand the very basics before they could be able to understand some of the more advanced things. And that's how the edification process actually occurs. And that's what the Apostle Paul was doing. That's what he sees that the members of the body of Christ are supposed to be doing. If we go back to where we were over in the book of Acts, chapter number 14, you see how the next piece of it says, "and exhorting them to continue in the faith." And this idea of exhortation that's going on, and this is encouragement that's needed. You know, anyone who, you know, lives and goes about their daily life understands how they need encouragement from time to time to be able to face the things that they're doing. And what Paul is saying is that this is what comes from the assembly. This is what comes from the Word of God, to be able to encourage someone, to be able to keep going through things, to be able to do the things that they need to do. And Paul's saying that this is part of that responsibility, part of that care that needs to happen. And as that evangelism, the edification, the exhortation is happening, the last piece of this that actually has to happen is what he says, what Luke records here in verse number 23. It says, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church." And the idea of the building up of the eldership in the local assembly, because there has to be those leaders that are going to make sure that the local assembly is going to remain faithful to the Word of God, rightly divided. That there's going to be an issue of that the Word continuing to go out. And that's why you see Paul give those words of what needs to happen. If we go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to see Paul write something to Timothy here about what is actually needed here. We're going to read verse number 2 of 2 Timothy 2. And it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And so the issue is that he's telling Timothy, take all of this information that I've given you. And when you look at who Timothy is and how Paul describes him as somebody who is like-minded as himself, that this is somebody who fully understood the doctrine of the Word of God rightly divided. And Paul's saying, take this information, give it to other individuals, so that way they can be able to go out and be able to teach all of this doctrine. And that the end result of it is going to be, as they're teaching that doctrine, they're going to be imparting it to other individuals, so that way they can be able to go out and teach the doctrine. And that the grace of God will continue to be preached to this lost and dying world. That's the goal of what the Apostle Paul is actually saying. That's how the issue of to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery is actually going to happen when individuals are actually going out and teaching this, giving it to other individuals so they can go out, so that way everyone can be able to hear this message. Because the reality is going to be that no one person is going to be able to reach everybody in the world. You see how, an example of this, the Apostle Paul writing an epistle to the assembly at Rome, an assembly of believers who were saved, that he had never seen before. He had never met any of these people, and yet here they were, saved individuals who had heard the gospel message preached unto them. That's the reality of how the gospel's going to get out. That's why you see this issue of Paul stressing in our text over in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, this issue of that they were willing to impart this unto them, so that way they knew that this message would keep going forth as a result of it being imparted to these individuals. But the Apostle Paul doesn't actually stop at that point, because he takes it to the issue of that not only were they willing to have imparted the gospel of God unto them, but he says, but also our own souls. That there was another step of what the Apostle Paul was actually saying that they were willing to actually do. And when we look at that idea of the soul, I want to go over in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Let's go over to chapter number 5. Because we're going to see here the Apostle Paul actually writes something related to the makeup of an individual here. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, we're going to read verse number 23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when we see this issue of holy, and spelled with the W-H-O-L-L-Y, that's talking about the complete individual that's being spoken of here. And Paul takes that individual and breaks it down into three different parts: a spirit, a soul, and a body. Now, he starts with the spirit, of where the whole process during the grace of God is actually going to be working out through. And that's the difference between when we talk about how grace works and how the law works, because the law worked to try to bring the body under subjection. The grace of God works through the mind to bring that under subjection of what the Word of God, and she says, in the spirit, that's the mind. It's the thought process of the individual. And this is how the spirit is going to function with the spirit that's inside of an individual and working out things. And we read this, if we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, to see how it is that the spirit is actually impacted by the things of the Word of God. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to start here at verse number 6. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And the Apostle Paul records here how it is that the Spirit functions with the individual, that the Spirit communicates with the spirit that's inside of a saved man. So this is, you know, a thing of the spirit, you know, speaking into the mind of the individual, teaching the things, comparing the spiritual things with spiritual, so that way an individual can have the insight into what the Word of God actually says. This is why a saved person cannot understand the things of the Word of God, because they don't have the Spirit inside of them. So to an unsaved individual, the things that are written in the Word of God, it seems to be nothing more than, you know, a book written by a man. In fact, you'll see individuals study the Bible the same way that they would study Shakespeare or some other human author and say that this is how you would actually are supposed to handle the Word of God. And that's not the case, because once an individual has salvation, the Spirit can communicate with them, teach them the things, and give them the understanding. So, you know, it's the thing of, and I'm sure everybody, you know, who's listening to this has had those passages where you read through it as you're reading the scripture and go, I'm not really sure what that means. And then all of a sudden, you know, weeks or months later, as you're studying and reading some other things, all of a sudden, you know, there's this thing of where you kind of connect those, that passage that you're just looking at now with that one that you were struggling with all those weeks and months ago, to where now you have that understanding. That's the Spirit communicating with the Spirit that's inside of you, giving you that understanding, allowing that growth and edification to actually occur. The thing of what the Apostle Paul talks about is supposed to happen, if we go over to the book of Romans, let's go to Romans chapter number 12, to where we're going to see hear what the Apostle Paul is going to say about what's supposed to happen here. And we're going to read the first two verses of Romans chapter number 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, you see how Paul has to talk about this issue of the transformation of the renewing of your mind. That process that 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 is actually talking about. And he says that that's supposed to happen and we're not supposed to be conformed to this world. Our mindset should not be on the things of this world. You know, we shouldn't be having all of our focus on things like, for example, what's going on over the last few days in Syria, of where, you know, three countries are bombing Syria as a result of, you know, the use of chemical weapons happening over there. And the fear that starts to come up as that happens. You know, that's not where our focus is supposed to be. Our focus is to be on the things of the Word of God. You know, we are supposed to have that transformation. We're not to be conformed to this world and have everything in our life be reflective of the things of this world. Because the things of this world are designed to keep a believer away from the Word of God. They're designed to keep individuals who are not saved away from the Word of God. That's why there has to be this transformation that the Apostle Paul's talking about. And that transformation can only occur as the individual's taking in the Word of God. Now, that's the spirit that's part of man. You know, Paul ends with the issue of the body. That's the flesh, the place where the issue of sin actually is. And you see how it is that Paul talks about how the body is actually looked at here. Let's go over to the book of Colossians. We'll go to Colossians chapter number 2 to see what it is that the Apostle Paul is actually going to say here. And here in Colossians chapter number 2, we're going to read verses 11 and 12. It says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So Paul starts to describe this spiritual circumcision of where the flesh, as he calls it, the body of the sins of the flesh, has been put off, has been separated from the believer. Now, we still walk around in these fleshly bodies, but it's not who we are. God's dealing with the inner man. And there's a big reason why he looks at that, because we're going to see things. Let's go over to Romans chapter number 8 to see what Paul comes to the conclusion about related to the flesh. And here in Romans chapter number 8, we're going to read here verse number 8. It says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, that's a verse that so many people struggle with, because they'll use things of, you know, when I'm doing the right things, I'm in the spirit. When I'm doing the wrong things, I'm in the flesh. Well, Paul's saying that those that are in the flesh cannot please God. And if we go back up to the verse number 1 of this same chapter, we see what Paul says here when he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if we're walking after the Spirit, There's no condemnation to us. Now, he says, walk not after the flesh. So if an individual could walk in the flesh, the only thing that could result from it, if we take the words of Romans chapter 8, verse 1 literally, is that if somebody was walking in the flesh, they would have condemnation from God. And we know that no believer can ever have condemnation because we are identified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're identified in Christ, the whole issue of sin, the punishment for sin has already been taken care of. There can be no condemnation. And therefore, we can't walk in the flesh. That's why Paul says what he says over in the book of Colossians about the idea of the flesh being cut off, being separated from who we are, because that's not who a member of the body of Christ is. Yes, we can fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Yes, we can do the things that are not pleasing to God. However, it's not going to result in condemnation. It's going to result in a loss of rewards. And that's a big difference. And that's why, you know, even using that terminology about someone walking in the flesh is so dangerous because of what the verse actually identifies could actually happen to somebody who is walking in the flesh. Now, next time, we're actually going to look at what the soul is and why it is that the Apostle Paul was saying about imparting their soul unto these individuals. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information on how to join our Sunday service live on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study as, you know, through a conference call option. You know, this week on, you know, this Wednesday, we'll actually be continuing in our study looking at 1 Peter and how, you know, what it is that Peter's saying and contrasting that with some of the things that the Apostle Paul says in his epistle. So that's what we'll be doing. And as always, remember, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything in these broadcasts, anything that you hear on our website, you know, remember you can contact us. There's the different ways to contact us are listed on our website as well. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.